Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Privileged to have Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Henry Cloud in the studio today. We'll be taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. Great day for New Life. At least we think so.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Henry Cloud. And getting ready for just surviving the turkey dinner and getting ready for Christmas here coming up here in December. This is day one, December 1. You guys doing all right?
Doing well. The year's gone too fast, but apart from that, doing well.
Yeah. Henry, you have some theories about why time flies later in life. You've told me about them before.
You know, I used to think about that a lot, and I can't remember all of my theories, but I do remember one.
Okay, can you share it?
That it's a less percentage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, if you're 80 and a year goes by, that's just a, you know,
it's 1/80th.
A little bitty piece. But if you're like 4,
right,
to wait a year for that bicycle next Christmas, are you kidding me?
Do you remember when summer felt like a year?
Oh, yeah.
I remember those days.
I remember.
It was something.
And also, do you remember when summer was there and you didn't have to work?
Oh,
when
boy.
You were like 5 years old.
Pretty good.
Just go out and play.
We're going to do something different. We're just going to go right to the phones today. Nancy.
Now, what was it about having to work that sort of made you go,
well, we got a job to do here. Nancy, you're on with Dr. Cloud, Dr. Stoop.
You're our first job today, Nancy.
First bit of work that we've got to deal with. How are you?
Hi. Good. Good. But I have a question. I've been listening to you for probably been like a 12-year process.
Yeah.
And I went to the New Life weekend a year ago, and I did call you last December. You had recommended, or should I start? I don't know. I'm not quite sure where to start. But
what would we recommend?
I'll start with the question. How's that?
Okay, sure.
My question is, what is the next right step? And what we're dealing with now, we've been through a lot, but at this point, it's my husband likes to take risks.
Okay.
And we've been married 30 years.
All right. Hey, Nancy, what's a risk?
And three years ago,
well, he was raised, you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
What's a risk?
Yeah.
What is a risk? One person's risk is another person's breakfast.
Okay. He went into small business 7 years ago, and it's a garage tech organizing business like California Closets.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put everything up. He put our house and all our savings and everything.
Oh, wow.
Did
he talk to you about it before he did it?
Sort of, kinda. He's a good salesman. Uh-huh. That is one of the issues. And I used to be codependent and enabler. And then I met you, Henry, I think about 12 years ago. I met you when you were doing a leadership seminar with Russ Robinson at Willow Creek off-site.
Mm-hmm.
You had given me, so I ended up buying Changes and Heal and going through that. And I've been through almost all your books. So I've come a long way in 12 years.
Mm.
So I'm trying to identify what the next step is. We've had a good marriage counselor. 3 years ago, I thought we were going to forget it, and I thought I was going to have to quit. But we got a tougher counselor who got more on his case and called him a narcissist and said, you know, you're just playing these Christian games, and you're either going to change or I'm going to help you.
Hold on. We'll take a break. Come right back.
Thank you. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Henry Cloud. We're talking with Nancy, whose husband bet it all on the garage organization business? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the question for us would be what? You want to know what's the next right thing
right.
to
well,
do?
Because we've been married 30 years,
yeah.
and he gets very, I tease him about having a kind of an obsessive gene because, you know, each decade of our marriage, there's been something like the first couple of years of our marriage, he wanted to invest in commodities and stocks, so he did that for a while, but it wasn't so bad then. I thought he would learn by the end of that, and we didn't have kids, and I was working full-time, so we lost money, but I thought we could use it as a teachable lesson, but now here we are this many years later, and so I've had a good marriage counselor, and he was good at identifying and working us through it. The next step I'm wondering about, 3 years ago, when I was trying to decide whether to separate and divorce, and we used the who's pushing your buttons, and we used the tools that I always hear about on the show, and so we did separate for a while, and that got his attention, and so things have been getting better, but now we're finally at, the counselor told me I couldn't make him see reality.
Okay, so when you say what's the next right thing to do, are you asking, do you divorce him, or is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay,
I don't
good.
Want to divorce him.
All right,
that
good.
Part, we're doing much better in our marriage. The problem now is, okay, I couldn't make him stop having a business any more than I couldn't make him not go into that business 7 years ago. And you just can't, he's just that strong-willed.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening in our home life was the kids were getting sick, and we had all this anxiety going on and all the fighting going on. So I was trying to keep the kids. I was running them to counselors and doctors.
Okay,
and
you got to give us a specific thing that we can help you with.
This is my question. Okay, this is my question. So I went and saw, we went and saw a bankruptcy attorney last week, and I think it's going to be our only choice. We'll know better next week, but if this takes place, and we do lose our debt, and we do lose our credit cards, and we do lose all this stuff that I think he sometimes leans on, will that be enough to stop the addiction? The counselor has told me he's never going to see reality. He's too much of a dreamer and a salesperson, and I'm too much of a realist.
We're looking for a question.
Okay, so you know the answer that's not going to help him see reality. But so what is the question that we could answer for you?
How do we stop history from repeating itself again? Will the fact that we don't have credit cards?
Okay, so you just want to know what's your best chance of him changing?
Well, he's been changing. He's finally meeting with the man and doing like you said. He's much more humble. He meets on Wednesdays with
Nancy.
Our shepherd.
Nancy, hold on here.
Nancy, let me go back to the way you asked the question. How do we stop history from repeating itself again? We can't. Okay,
how do I protect myself?
That now you're getting closer to something that you can do. The question is always, what can I, Nancy, do? Okay,
right.
So
I heard you teaching a woman this last week, so I was listening real
Okay.
And telling him, and I did that the other day, I said I can
Nancy,
only...
Nancy, listen for a second. Just listen for a second.
Okay.
I, Nancy, okay, we are bankrupt, okay?
Right.
I, Nancy, don't want to be at risk of living on the street, and I don't want to be at risk of no having no credit and this, that, and the other. So I want to be in a position where I can follow God's plan of, you know, you're diligently saving, you're worrying about your flocks, you're doing some giving, you're providing for your needs, you're not extravagant, you know, all the biblical principles. Probably what you guys would be well advised to do is do something like, you know, take a Dave Ramsey course or something like that that really starts, you know, from the bottom.
Well, I've got that book. We've read all that.
Well, I didn't say get a book. I said join the groups and go through the program because he's got... Nancy, just listen for a second, okay? Just I need for you to listen, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Where you say to him, I don't want to be at risk for A, B, C, and D. So I want you to join me in a path that's going to guarantee me that I am protected against some of the ways that you want to live, like spending and taking these risks and betting on this, that, and the other, because I don't want to be there, okay? So if you will join me in, like, going to a Dave Ramsey course or going to a financial counselor and getting a budget with that financial counselor and getting a debt plan, and here's what I want you to hear, Nancy. Where you put a financial counselor, a financial planner, in charge of y'all's finances, and both of you have to submit to a plan, and he may have an account that he gets an allowance from, and that's all he can spend, or this, that, and the other, where you guys are on a structured plan that he agrees to live by, where you're not subjected to this anymore, then you say, I'm great, and we'll go forward. If we can't do that, then we have to come up with another plan where we divide all the income and I have a half that I can control and make sure that I'm protected. Or all the way to, you know, a married couple in a lot of states, and it'd be good to check into this, a married couple can have a legal separation where you're married, but your finances are legally protected from one another. So whatever he does, it doesn't affect you.
Does that
make sense to you?
That last thing, Henry, is the tool that she can use to get him to agree to the earlier things that you said, because that would be the last resort. But it's just a separation legally. It's not a separation in any other way.
No. It's
financial protection
on paper. It has nothing to do with a marriage. It has to do with protecting yourself against his behavior. So, if I understood you right, Nancy, when you finally got some consequences, he listens, right?
Yes. They have to be strong, but yes.
Well, that...
I mean, we had to lose our house.
Right.
I mean,
ouch. Right. Right. Hmm. So what I'm telling you is that... Now, are you from the Chicago area?
Yes.
Okay. Did you happen to be... Do you go to Willow?
I heard you. We were there this summer.
Okay.
A friend of mine, we went and saw you. Yeah, we're near Naperville and Lyle. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have all your tape.
Did you hear my talk on wise, fool, and evil?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what I said about when you're dealing with a fool, and fool defined as not putting people in a category, but fool defined as somebody that doesn't listen to reality and doesn't listen to feedback? What I said was you stop talking and you start to have limits and consequences.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm suggesting here is, excuse me, had to cough. What I'm suggesting here is that you invite him to submit himself to the limits and structure and consequences of a third party. Okay. Because this financial planner, whoever that might be, can set up the limits that he has to abide by. If he can't do that, then you go to further limits, and that would be where you divide the money. If you can't do that, then you go to further limits where you're legally protected. But if somebody's not listening to wisdom, that's when you have to go to limits and consequences. It sounds like when somebody finally comes up with those that he kind of submits.
Hey, the other thing, Nancy, that you call him a risk taker, And I would call him a gambler. And you need to, I think you need to redefine what he does. He gambles. And he has a gambling addiction. He doesn't go gambling at the casino, but he goes gambling with businesses and that type of thing. Because when you start a business, you don't, we were talking about this during the break, you don't risk all of your security and everything that you've got. You know, that's a gamble. That's not a risk. Yeah. So I would redefine him as a gambler rather than a risker.
Okay. I'm glad you called. I hope something we said
hope that helps, Anthony.
Yeah. Let's talk with Shelley from Vancouver, British Columbia, Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Shelley.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you?
We're having quite a bit of trouble with our teenage daughter that, well, she just turned 18 a few weeks back. First, I
so
guess
you,
the problem
so you're
started...
Hey, Shelley.
Hello?
Shelley.
Yes?
Just to redefine a little bit, sounds like you're having some troubles with your young adult daughter.
Oh, yes.
So I want to put this conversation down a certain path.
Once they hit 18, you really become very powerless.
Yep.
Well, you see, as like the story, I guess as the more things unfold, you know, she was seeing this boy that we weren't approving of. We felt him being very controlling, and he was just involved in things. Like, he didn't have the same morals. He's not a Christian. He didn't, like, his... He just, you know, it was so easy for him to skip out on classes and was coaching her to do that same type of thing and skipping out on work. And we're like, this isn't something positive in your life, right? And so the more we were, you know, putting pressure on the relationship that we didn't want her seeing him, then they, you know, started going underground and they were hiding and the texting and the, you know, just sneaking out of class.
Okay, so how could we help
Romeo
now?
And Juliet?
Yeah, we know those scenarios.
Okay, so then, anyway, then, I mean, we started, like I said, you know, we really need to see a counselor. So we started going to some counseling sessions, and as things kind of progressed, like, we've always known, like, we have three other daughters as well, sort of four altogether, and we could see, I mean, she's our second, and we could see that her progression in life wasn't always taking the normal courses. Like, we could see that there was always a little bit of difficulties in her learning ability and things like that. So one of the counselors suggested we go see a psychologist. And so we did that, and we went to a number of sessions there. And, you know, I never said to my daughter, I never said to her until this past weekend, that, you know, like, the psychologist figured her level of reasoning is at about a 12 or 13-year-old. You know, she's 18 on paper, legally.
Okay, so what's the question for us, then, with a 13-year-old, 18-year-old?
Yes. So that's what he figured we were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know if it's really an addiction she has with this boy or an obsession with this boy. Like, and I don't understand why she... like, is hiding her relationships with us. Like,
well, you don't like him. You don't like him, so that's why she would be hiding, right?
Right, but then, you know, then, like I said, the story kind of just keeps unfolding.
Okay, now, has your husband done anything to try to develop a relationship with this guy?
Well, you know, that's what she says. You haven't tried to get to know him, and it's like, well, the first pretty much communication we had with him was... He had phoned the school pretending to be my husband to excuse her from classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we confronted him with that, well, that didn't go over very well.
No, I wouldn't.
And then
think
we found out the next day he was wanting to, you know, she should call in sick to work, but actually go and use our car to go meet with him for 8 hours at his place while his parents weren't home.
Okay.
So that was what he was leading
so back
her to do.
And back to my question. Said, you know, back to my question. Has your husband done anything to try to establish a relationship with her? With him.
With him?
Yeah.
No, like we both felt that there was nothing about him that we thought was anything worth bringing home and that we, you know, didn't want the relationship to continue.
And so you know what that set up, Shelley? That set up a big rebellion.
Yeah.
It says, you don't want me to see him, I'm going to see him. And what Steve's trying to get you to see is that if you do the opposite and you begin to invite him into the home and you invite him to dinner with the pretense of you're pretty serious about this guy, we really want to get to know him because he might be our son-in-law, and I know you're terrified to even think about that, but it's amazing what happens when it's a rebellion type of thing is that you spoil the whole relationship because it's no longer rebellious.
Well, the thing is, it's led to a lot more than that, though. But it doesn't matter.
You don't have a choice, though. If you want to influence your daughter's relationship with the boy, you have to get involved with the boy.
Well, and I asked, like before this got to the point where we knew what he was leading her to, you know, I'd say, earlier on, it's like, I do want to get to know the boys you're seeing at, and just other friends, right? Bring them to the home.
You still have to do that. All the more you have to work through that. You see, he could call in and act like your husband because your husband isn't a person to him. Mm-hmm. But when you start to put something into his life, you become real people. And it helps that situation. I don't know of any other thing you can do. She's 18. Try to put into his life, into her life, and not let this split you apart. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hi, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we're going to be talking to Fiona from Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. Hello, Fiona.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
Certainly.
I wanted to ask if I firmly believe in tithing, 10% of my income. And sometimes even if it comes in the form of a gift. My husband is at a different level of understanding with the tithing. And so I wanted to know the times that I tithe and he doesn't tithe. Does my tithing carry on to blessing him even though he may not tithe for several months or several years? And if I tithe a little over on his behalf, can that help us with financial blessings? Will that yield as much in principle a harvest? Because
Fiona,
we've been having financial difficulties lately. I recently lost my job, and so I wanted to know.
Can you hear me?
Okay, Fiona.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand your assumptions here. Are you saying that you believe that if you tithe, you're going to get some direct return that you can depend on from God,
like an investment?
I believe that not so much in that sense. but I do believe I'll always be provided for, and that even though I've been unemployed for a few months,
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if it's taking longer to find a job because we're not faithfully doing it together as a family.
As much as we
wouldn't. If for other reasons, family...
Yeah, Fiona, can I interrupt for a second? I don't think we can ever draw a direct line. I think that what we have to do is we have to just obey the scriptures and do what God tells us. And, you know, there are people that give, and you never see them, you know, financially blessed because for whatever reason in God's plan, that's not how he deals with them. There are other people that give, and they are blessed. You know, if you look at Paul, for example, Paul found himself, and we know Paul was a giver. You know, people would send him gifts that he would give 100% of it back to them. And Paul found himself, you know, sometimes, you know, in prison and you know, really having hard times.
Left for dead?
Yeah.
Stoned?
And all sorts of stuff. So I don't think that you can and I know, you know, you run into some TV preachers that teach it differently, but I think what the Bible tells us to do is to be givers from our hearts to God and to care about the needy and to care about the oppressed and to care about those who don't have anything, and that you give because it is a blessing to you. Yeah, in your heart that you get to give.
The blessing is in giving.
It's in the giving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what we know from happy, you know, about happy people is that they get happy because they get to give. Now, I also believe that God makes a principle blanket sort of statement that he says he's going to take care of us. I just don't think that you can make a one-to-one like you can, mm-hmm. you know, on a CD or something. If I give this, I'm going to get X amount of return, and it's going to pay me every month. And, you know, I think you can drive yourself crazy like
that. If you give what you're going to give individually, cheerfully,
yeah.
you will be blessed, not necessarily financially.
Right, because it's an act of obedience, and yep. and it's joyful obedience, and that's where the blessing is. It, mm-hmm. And some preachers say, you know, make it out to be money, but I don't think you can justify that biblically.
Okay, let me tell you what happened to me. You know, New Life has been in financial strain. And somebody said to me, well, maybe you need to put your salary on the altar the way Abraham put Isaac on the altar. And maybe once you do that, then, you know, you're really showing your commitment and others will follow. So I said, well, I'm not just going to take your word for it. I need to hear from God. So in my prayer time, I got a big letter edition Bible. I said, God, I never do this. But I'm going to open this baby up.
I love the big letter part of this.
I'm going to open this baby up.
I'm going to hear from God. I want to see it in big letters.
Yeah, big letters. And I want you to lead me to something to give me an answer, whether to do this or not. I don't know how many books of the Bible start with Abraham as the first word, but I opened up to Romans 4, Abraham. First word. It was just bizarre. Okay, so you do not give to get back financially. But 2 days later, my financial advisor called to say that this thing had sold and it resulted in about three times what I had sacrificed on my mm-hmm. salary. So I've had that happen over and over in my life,
yep.
but I never believe that if I give, I'm going to get something back.
Right. And you've had times where you've given and 2 days later,
no,
nothing
two days,
sold.
Two days later, my car crashed and I had to pay on that.
But in the
it
overall
can't be your
picture,
motivation.
It can't be your motivation. In the overall picture, though, I think we can trust, you know, like the Bible says, you haven't seen the righteous go hungry. You know,
mm-hmm.
Is there a day we might go hungry? Yeah, is there a season of hard time? But God promises to take care of us. And you can't treat
part of his faithfulness.
Yeah, and you can't treat him like a, you know, a CD.
Okay, when we come back, remind me. I got to tell you the story of Ignatius. If you think you give and everything's going to go great, Ignatius is an amazing character. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to the website newlife.com. We sure do need your help if you can. And, you know, year-end giving, please, please pray. God, is this a place that I want to give? We'll take this break and come right back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. Let's talk with Elise from Dallas, Texas, XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Elise.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I love your program, and Steve, I especially love your sense of humor.
Well, thank you. I get criticized often.
Well, Elise, I was going to ask you, you know, what happened to you as a child?
That's funny. All right. How can we help you, Elise?
Thanks. I've been married for 15 years. My husband was deployed for the last year. Got home Labor Day. And since then, he revealed to me he's having an emotional affair. He says it hasn't gone any further. With another woman, this woman is who... he dated about 20 years ago before we got married. So they have been sexually involved in the past. He will not end this relationship with this woman. And I don't know. Is it time for me to just pick up my kids and leave him? He's told him I wanted a divorce, and he says, well, you're bluffing. And I've told him I wanted him to leave the house, and he says, I'm not going anywhere. And
he
I
said
hate to uproot my children.
You're bluffing?
But I'm sorry?
He said you're bluffing?
Yes.
So he wasn't listening.
Interesting response going to the challenging you when you're trying to pull this thing together.
Are we right, Elise, in that you're telling him that this is obviously a problem, but he's not really hearing you or listening?
Right. He says we're just friends. She needs a friend, and I'm her only friend. And I'm like, well, I have friends too, but they're women.
Okay, yeah. Now the next conversation is, okay, you know what this person has done for us? It's helped us to realize just how disconnected we've become.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the issue that I would like some help in resolving with you. And you make that the issue, because that is the issue. He's not connecting with you, and you're not connecting with him.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, I've tried since he has gotten back from the deployment.
You can't do it by yourself. It takes both of you to do that, and you need help with that. Here's what I've seen work in that situation, Elise. You've got to give him a double message. And one half of the message is how committed you are to the marriage, how committed you are to the family, and wanting to see it to work. And the other part of it is the statement that says, but as long as you make her an intimate part of your life, you can't have us both. And so I'm going to take the kids and we're going to do something else. And, you know, but it's not what I want to do. You keep going back and forth between the two things. It's not what I want to do. I want us to make it. I want my marriage more than anything else. But it's not going to work under these circumstances.
Right.
Do you see? And it's scary, but that's the only thing that I've ever seen work in that kind of a situation, because it has to be something that says, you know, this is really serious. And if it's just emotional, that's fine. It won't stay that way. It'll become more over time, because that's the nature of those kind of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, I really believe when people are called to the position of missionary that they usually aren't called by God to comfort an old girlfriend.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's now the new missionary. And
yeah, I heard that same thing from God.
Yeah. So So I think Dave's got some good advice for you there, and I hope that you can do something that will bring him back to you. But it is totally unacceptable for him to be involved with her.
Right, right. And I'm scared to death, but I have some great support. And, you know, I have a great support system. And so...
Okay.
Well, you know what? When you give him that double message, Elise, he's going to listen to one part of it. You know, we're not equipped to listen to contradictory messages. So whatever part he responds to, you
point out
the
double message again.
The double message is, I love you. I'm committed to our marriage. I want it to work more than anything else. And the other side is, as long as you're having that kind of a relationship with her, I'm not going to be a part of your life. And if he responds, oh, you're abandoning me, then you reinforce the love thing. And if he says, oh, you're bluffing, then you reinforce the tough thing and make sure that he hears both, because you want him to be the one that's struggling with the problem, not you.
Okay.
And Elisa, I would invite him, you know, if he has a problem with that and he's calling you bluffing or whatever, say, you know, what I'm going to do is, if you don't agree to this, then I'm going to go to counseling to talk about the way to figure out my next steps. And I would love... I'm sorry?
We're in counseling. We are in counseling. We've been seeing a counselor, I guess, for the past 4 weeks off and on, and I've been in counseling since he was deployed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but what... Now, wait a minute. Y'all are in marriage... How did I miss this? Did you say this?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay, so there's a marriage counselor involved?
Yes.
What is the marriage counselor saying?
Well, I'm actually concerned with how she's handling this, because she sees us individually and then she sees us together. And when we're together, she doesn't really call him on the carpet for, you know, breaking our marriage out. She just lets us sort of rehash things, and I don't think that's productive.
I don't think that counselor knows how to work with a couple under these circumstances, and you might... You might challenge her about that. You're the consumer. You have a right to challenge her.
Well, Dave, if you were seeing them, what would you do?
Well, I would see them together, and I would bring this up, because this is at the, I mean, until this is resolved, you're not going to fix any other, deal with any other issues.
Right.
It's like working with somebody where alcoholism's involved, and unless you get them to deal with that, you can spin your wheels forever.
So are you saying you wouldn't continue to see him if he wasn't at least willing to give up the relationship during
I'd
the
I'd at least get him to give it up for a period of time.
Lent or something.
Yeah. Or the holidays.
It's unbelievable.
But I've seen this, and you know, anybody in counseling has seen this happen so often, is that's how affairs begin. And he hasn't crossed the line yet, you know,
so he says,
but it's inevitable that he will if it doesn't, you know, if it continues, because that's just the nature of how those things evolve.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you called us. Let me send you a copy of Beyond Boundaries, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. All right, let's go to Steve from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Steve. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you both? Thank you for having me.
Sure. What's going on?
I'm trying to figure out how to deal and reestablish a relationship with my parents when they are parenting my 18-year-old son behind my back.
How do they do that?
Well, I haven't seen my parents in 8 months. I've had ongoing problems with my son, and last year I found out that my son had been kicked out of his mother's house and was living in a tent in the woods.
Wow.
So we brought him in, and after 3 days he became angry. He cursed me out, telling me things, you know, that I would never report, repeat on the air,
mm-hmm.
and very vile things, and that he would never call me his father again.
Mm.
So what then happened was he got in trouble with the law about a week later and needed bail. So he actually did call me from jail.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, all of a sudden he'll call you dad, right?
Oh my. Okay, so what did he say? When he called you, how did he approach it? What did he say to you?
He said, Dad, mm-hmm. I'm in jail and need $1,800 of bail paid to get out.
What'd you say?
And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's a bad decision that you made, and you're going to need to, pay the consequences of your decision.
Hmm.
You know, I hope that you turn things around and that, I'm here for you. I'm not going to help you in this regard.
Good job.
Wow.
And what was his response?
Do you have Grandma and Grandpa's phone number? Could you give it to me?
Oh, dear.
And I said I was not willing to.
Ghosty.
So what's the question
good.
For us then? You're handling this.
We affirm what you've done so far.
Yeah, you're really close to being invited to be a co-host.
Right. Or us call you during the middle of the show and say, hey, run through that thing again.
There's a lot of parents that we wish would do what you did in a lot of circumstances. So how can we help?
It took me a couple of years to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, how can we help you?
Yeah. Okay. So I then find out later that my parents paid the bail after the fact.
They bailed him out, huh?
They did bail him out.
All right.
And not only that, but they then took him in without letting me know.
I see.
And living with them.
Hold on.
We have to go to a break, but I'm going to give you a hint here. He's 18 years old, and they don't bail him out, he'll always be able to find someone. So you got to figure out how to have a different stance towards him.
All right, we'll take a break and come right back after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and Steve's parents are secretly parenting his 18-year-old.
They're not parenting
19-year-old.
Steve. They're rescuing.
Yeah. And Henry gave us a little hint as to his direction. So, Henry?
Steve, I think what you did on the phone call was, you know, a great part of the formula. And I think what you got to do here is that you've really got to come to grips with the fact that he's 18 years old. He looks for rescuing. Right now, he's found it from your parents. If your parents get wise, which you also can help them to do in a, you know, in a totally separate track, but if they get wise and he doesn't, you know, respond, then he will find someone else. And when they get wise and he doesn't respond, he will find someone else until he faces himself. What you can't do is you can't go on a mission thinking you'll always be able to put, you know, kind of plug up the dam where the sort of the dam of limits around this reservoir of behavior. You know, what we try to do is surround somebody as best we can with the relationships that have leverage, but ultimately you can't stop it. And so I would talk to your parents, you know, and say, look, here's the problem. I'm really concerned for Joey, and Joey's not going to get better if he has somebody to always bail him out. And if they don't know anything about that kind of behavior, you know, send them boundaries or something. But do the best that you can to try to get them on the team of requiring Joey to grow up. But ultimately, you're probably not going to be able to chase down the army of enablers that's out there. And the best thing that you can do is, like you've probably done, it sounds like, is say to him, you know what, son, I love you and I really want to support you. And here's the ways that I'll support you. You know, if you want to get some help, I'll help there. You know, I'll take you to a counselor. We'll go to groups together. You know, if you want to go to school and you get your grades, and I'll help you. Whatever it is you want to do that requires performance, but you can't chase down all the enablers.
Well, but I would talk. You said to talk to his parents and help them understand this. That you don't enable bad behavior by bailing them out, because it'll just repeat itself and nothing's learned. But when, like Henry's saying, when he's going to do the right thing, then you're 100% with him. And he needs to understand that, and your parents need to understand that that's the only principle that works. And because they'll be out of money if they don't.
But important that he tell them what his intentions are, that he's not just wanting his child to hurt or leave him out there in the cold. They need to know he's doing this for the child, and it hurts him to not go down there and bail out this child.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And Steve, I'm sure you've done this, but if you haven't, you know, it's important to do, and if you have, you might do it again, to also, you know, kind of show him your underbelly there a little bit and say, you know, I'm not gonna bail you out, but here's what I do want you to understand. Whatever it is between us or in your life that's happened that has hurt, if I've been a part of that, I'm totally willing to listen. And I want to understand anything that I need to do to have done differently. And I want you to forgive me. And I want us to go forward. And I'm totally here for you. And I want to listen to you. And to try to breach or to, you know, cure the breach between your hearts, I think is a very important thing. So I would add that to the equation as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Okay. Can I ask you also regarding this? I've actually done all of those things, ironically.
I told you you should be a co-host.
Yeah.
See?
Good man.
But another question would be what?
The problem is my parents won't listen, and I've you know, time and again told them that I didn't want them to enable him. It was, you know, during 20 detentions annually in high school, they would take him out for ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and they would have their, quote, talk with him, and, you know, it did nothing but give him negative, positive attention.
Yeah, okay. So Henry's telling you, you've got to accept that as part of reality.
Well, and
yeah, what are you going to do? Give me a better option. I mean, I don't know how to stop them, right?
I mean, there's a question you could ask them and say, now, how has that helped him?
Right.
You're doing that to help you so you feel better, but how has that helped him, because that doesn't help him. And it takes a while. It took me a while to understand that. And, for some people, it takes a little while longer to understand it. So I wouldn't give up on them, but I would be kind about it.
Yeah, be understanding of how your parents could get into this bind.
Yeah.
Versus angry at them.
I was going to say, they've told me that I've abandoned my son.
And, right.
That they're basically, taking over with.
Well, you could say, I can see why you think I abandoned him in the past, but I'm not abandoning him now. I'm really trying to help him.
And I'm offering to take him to help.
And I can't do something unhealthy today to make up for something unhealthy I did years ago.
Yeah.
I've got to do the best I can.
And just imagine, it's a matter of their opinion versus my opinion, and even if, like I've said, even if they think I'm wrong, I've said this to them, I'm the parent. You should respect my decision. So meanwhile,
that kind of conversation isn't going to get you anywhere with them, where you're telling them what they should do and shouldn't do. You're not going to get anywhere with them. But where you're sharing your heart and you're making a request, you might have some hope. But don't do that. Don't should them.
Yeah, don't.
Because it's not enforceable.
Yeah.
They'll get tired of it at some point, and they'll start to see how it isn't working.
Yeah,
and
I believe.
And then they'll make you bad, and then they'll agree with him, and now they've joined in the they're both victims of bad Steve, and kind of that persecutor victim rescuer triangle gets going. So
well, but then when they start to run out of money, they start to say, wait a minute, this isn't working.
Or and when he betrays them,
bad
yeah. when he betrays them, which he has no choice, but he will eventually betray them because he's using them, and that's what he's focused on.
Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Let me send you a copy of Boundaries with Teens. I know that he's in his last year, and as we've said on another program, he's in an early adulthood. But we'll send that to you. I hope that'll be helpful to you. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you can help us, we do need your help. And you can find out how to help us or how to get help for yourself. It's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I sure hope that since it's December, you're thinking about year-end giving, that you'll pray about it. And that you'll support this ministry. We really do need your help. And everything that goes on next year is determined by the gifts that we get this year. Dave, you have some scripture for us there as we close out the program?
Yeah, and when Paul was writing to Timothy, he was giving him some wise counsel in terms of leadership. But there are also very wise things. And the one thing that really struck me recently was he says, pursue righteous living and faithfulness and love and gentleness. We need to pursue that. It doesn't just happen. And righteous living doesn't just kind of all of a sudden just automatically be there. We have to be working. And so regardless of our circumstances, and we've had different circumstances today, we're still called to pursue righteousness and faithfulness.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Thanks for listening to us. I really do believe you listen because you want a better life. You want to give a better life to those around you. But thank you for tuning in today. And we're hoping and praying this is going to be a great, great December for you, that you and your family will come together, perhaps in ways you haven't come together before. But no matter what, we will always be here for you at New Life Live. New Life Live. Go to newlife.com. Find all sorts of resources that can help you through this holiday season. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.